Well, good morning, everybody. Today, we priests are supposed to talk about two things. Number one, All Souls Day. And number two, it is the first day of Vocations Week here in the Church in the United States. So allow me briefly to speak about both. Number one, All Souls. We are in this month of All Souls and in this day of All Souls. This is my favorite vestment. I love wearing it. My confirmation sponsor, who was also a teacher of mine at Catholic school, she gave me a whole set of them, and I don't get to wear this one too much, but it is my favorite. And this All Souls Day is a day when we pray in a very special way for the faithful departed. 2 Maccabees 12:46 says that it is a holy and wholesome thought to pray for the dead. And that very Bible verse is etched into the crucifix that is in St. Joseph Cemetery. And so we will have our annual blessing of the graves of the cemetery following this Mass. These names over here on the board, you can write in the book any relatives, family, friends of yours who have passed away, and they're remembered in a special way, and all of the Masses during this month of All Souls. I like to do a little bit of a lectio. You know, lectio, we talk about doing that like in the Bible, where you read a verse and you kind of chew through it, and what are you speaking to me, Lord, through this? And I like to do that with folks who have passed away in my life. And just kind of spend some time in the Adoration Chapel praying for them, but also saying, Lord, what are you teaching me through their life? And it's a good way to remain connected. I would say to be Catholic is to be connected. And we're all connected, you know. The Bishop Barron had a really good image that he used. He took it from Cardinal George, the former Archbishop of Chicago. He said, purgatory is kind of like, it's kind of like if you're a kid and you're out getting all muddy, you're having a fun time like kids are supposed to, and you're a mess. But then your grandma comes by unexpected, and your mom might say, or your dad might say, you need to clean up before you are ready to be received by your mother or your grandmother. And a kid might be so messy and so helpless that he or she needs help in getting cleaned up. And I thought that's a really good image for purgatory. Nothing imperfect is in heaven, and most of us when we die aren't going to be perfect. Thanks to God for purgatory. And so I pray for all my deceased loved ones every day because they may be in purgatory. This way we have Mass intentions and all these things. So it's a happy day to pray with and for our loved ones who have passed. So it's also the first day of Vocations Week, and I wasn't sure what I was going to say about all this, because I talk about vocations constantly in various parishes and around the diocese as vocation director, which is my other job. But I thought, so Deleza, who's a fifth grader at our school, she was here at Mass last night serving, and it was funny because right before school Mass the other day, she said, we were lined up in the back, and she says, Father, how did you get your call to be a priest? And I thought, well, I can't answer that one in 20 seconds, you know. But I thought, boy, she's a very involved family, you know. They never miss Mass, and they go to our school, and she doesn't know how I got my call. And I thought, you know, it's good for kids to know how Mom and Dad met and fell in love, how the Lord called them together. And the Bible and the Catechism talk about the priest as spiritual father. And I've told you little pieces of my story here and there, but I'm going to give you the short version of how the Lord called me to be a priest. I'm very familiar with my story, which is why I don't talk about it that much. It also seems a little narcissistic, but I just want you to know how I was received a call. Maybe you can take a nugget or two in some way. In any event, it's not that spectacular, quite frankly, or extraordinary. I grew up in a really good family, and my mom and dad loved each other very much. We never, ever, ever missed Mass. Dad played the organ, and so a lot of times we would sit up in the organ loft and things like that. When it was time to serve, I loved serving. I thought that was the most important thing I did every week. and I love serving. And but mom and dad were very good. And our house, we prayed. Dad did his job. He led us in our prayers every day. And we prayed. And so the house had a holiness. And I saw my mom got a job at the Catholic school that I went to. I always think she was doing that just to keep an eye on me. But she got a job there. And so I saw mom and dad like be generous with the Lord, with the church. And so it wasn't that big of a leap, you know, for me really to think, well, maybe I'm supposed to be generous back to God too. And maybe I'm supposed to, you know, even do something even more wild, like give my whole life to God as a priest. And so that thought was there. In kindergarten, my brother and I, we used to play priests. We would have our, I'd be the altar boy one time, he'd be the sir or the priest, and then we'd switch. And my masses were always way better, you know, than his. But we had our G.I. Joes, our Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, our stuffed animals. They don't have souls, but they're all Catholic. And they were there. And we would use our Villa wafers, grape juice, do these things. And so that was just like, nobody told us to do that. We just did it, you know. In second grade, something big happened. And my best friend, his name was Tom, his dad passed away of cancer, and I'd had sleepovers at their house, and you know, I remember, like, adults don't even know what to do with death, but kids really don't know what to do with death. And like, our whole class was like, what do we do? I remember, like, the day or two or three after that happened, my priest, Father Charlie, it was his first year at St. Charles, he came into our classroom, and I still remember where I was sitting when he came in there. And I remember thinking, everything is going to be okay because my priest is here. And he talked to us about all souls. He talked to us about last rites and how he gave Tom's dad his last rites. He talked to us about heaven. He talked to us about praying for the dead, all these things. And I just remember thinking in the back of my brain, little second grade brain, Maybe I should be a priest. And that thought was there. Okay, in middle school, high school, you discover all sorts of things and to be distracted by. And I was, you know, and it was just, it was still sort of thinking maybe once every couple weeks or so, or month or two or three, you know, at different times. And, but then everything changed. You know, I love retreats. And I love retreats because my confirmation retreat changed my life. I was a punk high school kid, and none of us wanted to go on this retreat. We had to get on a bus. We had to go all the way down to St. Mindred, and it was January. We had to give up sports that weekend. We had to give up everything. And if you didn't go, you didn't get confirmed. That was the rule. So we all went. None of us were happy about it. Well, anyway, I went to adoration there for the first time in my whole life. I never had it. And I went to confession. I told that priest everything. I remember even shedding a tear. We went on these like faith walk things. And I remember going outside. And the second reading at Mass talked about how being filled with the love of God. And that's what I felt. I felt like I was filled with a peace. And I was filled with the Lord in a way I'd never experienced before. And I remember thinking in my heart, maybe, it wasn't like you have to be a priest, but it was like, maybe you're supposed to be a priest. And I really think sometimes I look back and I tell people, that's where I met Jesus. I met him there. And all of the things before that were preparing me. And I met him and I fell in love with him. And I can't really put words, you can never explain what happens inside of you. Something just happens, and the grace of God, and that's what was going on for me. And so mom picked me up from the retreat when we finally got back Sunday night, and she said, "So how'd it go?" I said, "Fine," you know, and everything, you know, I was a little stubborn. That might surprise you, but anyways, this thing had happened for me. Well, anyways. My brother, 2 years older than me, very important to me also, and he was at IU. He came back one break, and I was in high school. This was after the retreat. And I didn't know what overcame him, because he was talking about God all the time. And I was like, what has gotten into this guy? You know, and he was showing me websites about Jesus, and he made me listen to this confession talk, and he did all these things. And I thought, oh my gosh, like if the Lord matters this much to my brother, maybe he should matter to me too, and a little bit more. And so, yada, yada, yada. I kept thinking, maybe. But I thought I could outrun God, so I went to Indiana University. I changed my major 3 times, and none of it was like, none of it was fulfilling to me at all. And I kept thinking, about it, even though that I was trying to not. And so then I went to seminary after my IU days were over. And I was talking with Father Hollowell, John Hollowell. He's the priest. He's one of the priests at Dearborn County. And he's the one that had a miracle with Our Lady of Lourdes curing his brain tumor. It's in a miraculous story. But he and I were having coffee a few days ago. And he says, you know what I pray for with vocations? And I said, no, what do you pray? He says, I pray that our young people will be listening to God's voice, that they will want to do his will. Like Jesus in our gospel today, he says, I came down from heaven not to do my will, but his will. You know, so he says, I pray that they're listening to God and wanting to do his will, that they see it through to the end. Because a lot, and it happened for me a million times, I was filled with doubts. You're not holy enough. You're not smart enough. You wouldn't be good enough. It's not certain enough that you're called. All these little doubts and the unknown, you know, all this stuff. Those things kind of get into people sometimes. And the pull of other things gets into people. So that they see it through to the end, but that they find loving support along the way. Because as the vocation director, I work with a lot of people, and it's amazing to me how many parents don't want their kid to be a priest or a nun. And I'm like, I don't understand how you would not want that, because nothing should make you happier. Like, if that's their call, right? Like, oh my gosh. And so my message to you, kids and youth and young adults here, is this. Be open to God's call for you. He has a mission for you. And don't just assume that it's somebody else that's supposed to be the priest or the nun. I mean, maybe it is, maybe it's not. Maybe it is supposed to be you. And so pray about it. Just pray about it. And number two, realize that it's not like you're not going to hear a voice in your ear. It's going to be like a subtle thing, like it was for me. And then probably. And then the second thing is for parents, godparents, grandparents, is to pray for the vocation of your kids. To pray for them, to know it and to embrace it and to live it. And to make them know that your only wish for them, your only prayer, is that they do God's will, whatever it is, to do God's will and become a saint in that. And to support them in whatever journey that looks like, you know? So that's my little thought today about vocations. We thank the Lord for the gift of our souls, for the gift of vocations. This week we pray in a special way for priesthood, religious life. We pray this month in a special way for all the souls of our faithful departed, that they may rest in peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.